Good morning. I also greet you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here again. Our family was at Calvary last week, and I always miss worshiping here with you all, so it's good to be back again. I do want to welcome you to this part of our service, and I do greet you in the name of Jesus. He's why we're here this morning, and we want to worship him and look to him as our example. I've been blessed by being here in the Sunday school discussion, and thank you for what each of you contribute to the service so far. You can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18 for a message this morning. I normally like to look at Scripture in the beginning. There's nothing more important that we could look at. But this morning I want to start with a story by reading you a story that I read this week that touched my heart and went along with some thoughts that I was been thinking about for the last couple weeks. So I'll just read that story here in the beginning. When New York police officer Stephen McDonald entered Central Park on the afternoon of July 12, 1986, he had no reason to expect anything out of the ordinary. True, there had been a recent string of bicycle thefts and other petty crimes in the area, and he and his partner, Peter King, were on the lookout. But that was a routine, all in a day's work. Then they came across a cluster of suspicious-looking boys, teens. And then this is Mr. McDonald speaking his story. When they recognized us as cops, they cut and ran. We chased after them, my partner going in one direction and I in another. I caught up with them about 30 yards away. As I did, I said to them, "Fellas, I'm a police officer and I'd like to talk to you." Then I asked them what their names were and where they lived. Finally, I asked them, "Why are you in the park today?" While questioning them, I noticed a bulge in the pant leg of the youngest boy. It looked like he might have a gun tucked into one of his socks. I bent down to examine it. As I did, I felt someone over me, and as I looked up, the taller of the three, he turned out to be 15, was pointing a gun at my head. Before I knew what was happening, there was a deafening explosion. The muzzle flashed, and a bullet struck me right above my right eye. I remembered the reddish-orange flame that jumped from the barrel and the smell of gunpowder and the smoke. I fell backward and the boys shot me a second time, hitting me in the throat. Then as I lay on the ground, he stood over me and shot me a third time. I was in pain. I was numb. I knew I was dying. I didn't want to die. It was terrifying. Then I closed my eyes. And they took him to a hospital, and I'm jumping through the story here. I don't have time to read it all. It says, they did the impossible. Obviously, along with God's help, they saved me. But my wounds were devastating. The bullet that struck my throat had hit my spine. I could not move my arms or legs or breathe without a ventilator. In less than a second, I had gone from being an active police officer to an incapable crime victim. I was paralyzed from the neck down. When the surgeon came into my room to tell me this, my wife, Patty Ann, was there, and he told her I would need to be institutionalized. We had been married just 8 months, and Patty Ann, who was 23 at the time, was 3 months pregnant. She collapsed onto the floor, crying uncontrollably. I cried too, though I was locked in my body and unable to move or reach out to her. Then about 6 months after I was shot, Patty Ann gave birth to a baby boy. We named him Connor. To me, Connor's birth was like a message from God that I should live and live differently. And it was clear to me that I had to respond to this message. I prayed that I would be changed, that the person I was would be replaced by something new. Excuse me. That prayer was answered with a desire to forgive the young man who had shot me. I wanted to free myself of all the negative, destructive emotions that this act of violence had unleashed in me. Anger, bitterness, hatred, and other feelings. I needed to free myself of those emotions so that I could love my wife and our child and those around us. Anyway, he was in the hospital for about 18 months. And after he came out of the hospital, he began to write letters to the boy that had shot him. At first, they went unanswered, but the boy began to respond. And one day, about 2 years after the incident, this boy called and apologized for what he had done to this young man and his family. McDonald had forgiven him months before that phone call, though. And when McDonald was asked why he had forgiven the boy, this was his response. And this is what caught my attention. I forgave him because I believe the only thing worse than receiving a bullet in my spine would have been to nurture revenge in my heart. Such an attitude would extend my injury to my soul, hurting my wife, son, and others even more. It's bad enough that physical effects are permanent, but at least I can do is choose to prevent spiritual injury. This story touched my heart as I read it this week. And the subject I'd like to think about this morning is the freedom of forgiveness. The freedom of forgiveness. So Mr. McDonald was paralyzed from his neck down, and he was young and he was in his prime. I can't even imagine this hopeless, trapped feeling that he felt, being paralyzed from the neck down. But that last paragraph there in the story of why he forgave really touched my heart. How many of us have full capacity with our bodies, but are trapped by feelings of bitterness that wrap their tentacles around our hearts and our minds so easily, and they paralyze us, and it comes into our thoughts. We open up the Bible to read, and we want God to speak to us, and we find that person coming into our mind, like, this is the scripture that they need to hear. And these feelings can just penetrate into our mind, and it paralyzes us. We can't even focus on what the Spirit is trying to say to us because we're thinking how well it fits the person that really needs to read this. But what does it mean to forgive? I wrestled with that question for a while this morning, last night. What does it mean to forgive? Well, if you just look in the dictionary, it says, stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, a flaw, or a mistake. And the second definition is to cancel a debt. So forgiveness is a release. It's just letting something go. There's a debt. It's been canceled. The offense is erased. And as humans, we can forgive like this, but our mind still works, doesn't it? We can still remember. And we have to keep coming back to this. If you read the story of Mr. McDonald there, yes, he forgave the man who shot him. But you think about a lifetime of being paralyzed from your neck down, I'm sure there was lots and lots of opportunities for Mr. McDonald to again forgive the person that had harmed him. But that's what forgiveness is. Let's read here in Matthew chapter 18. I want to start reading in verse 21 and read through the end of the chapter. Just maybe to give a little bit of context, we often turn to this passage when we're thinking about conflict resolution. Maybe you thought when I said Matthew chapter 18 that that's what we were going to look at this morning, and we will touch on it maybe a little bit, but it says here that in this passage that when someone trespasses or sins against us, how we reconcile that relationship, how we resolve that issue. And we know there's things that are going to happen to us in life that are against us. We've all had this happen. We've all had things happen to us that we have to forgive. And it makes that rift in a relationship, and we have to work that out. Maybe even it's someone close around us that we have to work through it. And Jesus teaches here how to resolve these conflicts. We know how it is. You go to the person and tell them their fault or what you perceive as their fault. And if they don't listen, you take another person with you. And if that doesn't work, you go to the church. And then if the person doesn't hear the church, they're to be put out of the church. And I was impressed again as I read 17 through 19 that Christ gives a lot of authority to the church to work out relationships. Because we're people, and we're going to have conflicts, and we work them out in the context of the brotherhood. It's a huge blessing. Let's read verse 21 here, because Peter follows this teaching with a question. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times. Until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, he was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He erased it. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So Peter had just listened to Jesus teach on forgiveness. And Peter thought he was going pretty far by saying, Lord, if I would forgive my brother 7 times, wouldn't that be sufficient? I mean, 7 times somebody does something to you. Somebody takes something from you and you forgive them. And they take something else from you and you forgive them again. And they take something else and you forgive them again. All the way to 7. Peter thought he was going plenty far. But Jesus said, 7 times isn't even enough. And he answered his question with the answer of 70 times 7, 490. And we know that the principle here is not that you count 489, 490, I'm done. That's not the point, right? The point was to forgive limitlessly. And then Jesus went on to demonstrate that parable with this story. And we know this story well about these two servants. And I don't think it's by accident that Jesus teaches on forgiveness right after he taught on conflict resolution. Because sometimes there's conflicts that maybe there's not a resolution. And then we just have to go to forgiveness and move on from it. Sometimes the solution to the conflict is not seeing that all the wrongs, or at least what we see as the wrongs, are made right. Sometimes forgiveness is a solution and we need to move on. I'm not talking about excusing sin, but when the issue is a matter of viewpoint, sometimes we just have to use forgiveness and we just move on from the situation. But we're going to look at this parable a little bit, and then we're going to look at a number of points on forgiveness. And I just want to draw a triangle up here on the board. We have the Lord, the one who's in charge of these servants. And I'm just going to number these as number one, servant number one, and you have servant number two. And these both are servants of this Lord. And we read in the parable that servant number one owed the Lord 10,000 talents. And servant number two owed servant number one, and draw arrows here. Servant number two owed servant number one, what does it say, 100 pence? I think is what it says. The debt that was owed by servant number one was a tremendous sum. And we could spend time looking at what 10,000 talents would be in our money. But according to Adam Clark, it was the highest Greek arithmetical notation. 10,000 talents. Jesus used a number that everyone in his audience knew was an astronomical number. It was the highest one that they knew of was the 10,000 talents. And different translations have different sums, but In our terminology, if you want to use it that way, it was millions and millions of dollars, maybe even billions of dollars, is what this number meant. It was a huge sum. The point that Jesus was making is there was a debt here owed to the Lord that was never going to get paid back. In this servant number one's lifetime, he was never going to get that paid off. That was what the point that Jesus was making. And then servant number two, he owed servant number one 100 pence. And that was a number that could easily wrap their mind around. It was a significant number. It wasn't just a couple dollars. It was maybe 100 days' wages. One commentary that I looked at mentioned 100 days' wages. But just to put the two in proportion, what servant number two owed servant number one was 1/600 of what servant number one owed the Lord. And just to give it another visual, say that. But the point here is how minuscule the amount was that servant number two owed servant number one in comparison to what he owed the Lord. But Jesus was making a point with the numbers that he used. We're like servant number one. We have a debt that we can never pay. And servant number one, he asked for patience. Now, if you had a debt that you knew you were never going to be able to pay for, would you ask for patience? Wouldn't it make more sense to ask for forgiveness? But isn't that how we are? In our human thinking, we think, I will somehow take care of this problem. This problem between me and the Lord, I'll somehow take care of it myself. I'll do some works. I'll do something. And the point here is, we can't. Patience isn't going to cut it. We need forgiveness. And that takes me to point number one on forgiveness, and that's we all need forgiveness. There's not one of us here this morning that does not need forgiveness. And we'll touch a little bit more on that later, but turn over to Colossians chapter 2. I want to read two verses from there. Colossians chapter 2. I want to read verse 13 and 14. We all need forgiveness. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, we know that word means made alive, together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. Let me read that verse again. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Those are some beautiful verses. Blotting out, which means to wipe away. Handwriting there has the thought of a legal document. Brother Leo would say the Decalogue. We had this charge against us. These ordinances, which were the law, and they were against us as a person. We had these trespasses, which means missing the mark. Coming up short. We were coming up short. That's what sin is. We know Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I want to note notice from these verses is we all need forgiveness. We're all in servant number one's situation. We have a debt that is much greater than we could ever pay in our lifetime, if money would even make a difference, and we know that it doesn't. We had a debt we could not pay. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. I want to take point number two from Matthew chapter 6, and that is forgiveness is key to our forgiveness and relationship. So forgiveness horizontally, or this way, is key to forgiveness this way. I said that backwards. Forgiveness this way is key to forgiveness this way. We cannot have forgiveness from the Lord unless we are willing to forgive our brother. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15 says, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And while we're right here, let's just turn back to Matthew 5, 23 and 24. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And then Mark 11, 25 and 26 is a parallel passage to Matthew chapter 6. It says, and when you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness horizontally is key to our forgiveness and relationship vertically. We can forfeit the forgiveness for the unpayable debt that we owe, but not by not forgiving those who have wronged us. And that's what happened to servant number one in the parable that we read. Servant number one was forgiven that massive unpayable debt. He was freed from it. But when he went out and grabbed his fellow servant by the neck and said, pay me what thou owest, what happened? The debt that had been forgiven him came back to him. And the same thing can happen to us. His debt came back to him with torture because he was unable to forgive the large debt that was owed him. Forgiveness is the key to God working on our behalf. It impacts our prayers, it says here. When we go to pray and we have this thing in our life that we're not able to lay down, that we're not able to forgive, it affects our relationship with God. Number three, forgiveness frees us to see God at work. Forgiveness frees us to see God at work. Turn back to Genesis chapter 45. We looked at this story in school devotions on Friday. I was thinking about this week and had school devotions, and I shared a couple verses there. But Genesis 45, 4 to 8. This is the story of Joseph here. We know the story of Joseph well. We would say, when we look at Joseph's life, we would say he was a man that got the short end of the stick, if there ever was a person who got the short end of the stick. He was the one who was sent out to see how his brothers were doing. And it ended up with him being thrown into a pit and later being sold by his brothers. And Joseph was the one who did everything he could for his master, Potiphar. Yet he was accused of an act he didn't commit, and not only was he blamed for it, but he was also put in prison for it. And then while he was in prison, he served others to the point that the prison keeper placed him in charge of the prison. And Joseph took an interest in his prison mates to the point that he noticed one day that the baker and the butler aren't having a good day. And after Joseph had done all of this, he asked a small favor of the butler. He said, when you're restored, just remember me. Mention me to the Pharaoh. if someone had an excuse to be bitter about life and what it had brought him, I think we could all agree that Joseph had the right to be bitter about the way life had treated him. But what's his testimony in Genesis 45, verse 4? And Joseph said unto his brethren, this is when he is revealing himself to his brothers after all those years. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. You see what forgiveness did for Joseph? As he reflected on his life, he had the opportunity here to take revenge on his brothers for what they had done for him. But he had forgiven them. And it allowed him to see God working this out over the years and bringing it to this place. And when we can forgive, it helps us see God at work in our lives and the lives of others. Sometimes we can get so focused in on the ways we have been wronged and mistreated that we miss seeing God at work in our lives. We miss that blessing. We miss that opportunity because we're so focused on what we're not getting or what we're missing out on. Forgiveness frees us to see the bigger picture that God is painting rather than focusing on all the ways that we or I have been mistreated. Fourth point I have is forgiveness is free, but costs a lot. It doesn't cost anything to forgive somebody, does it? We can just let something go, but it costs a lot, doesn't it? We have to just get rid of ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. Luke chapter 17, you can turn there if you want to. Luke chapter 17, we're going to read verse 3 and 4. This is another passage that Jesus taught on forgiveness. Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day return again to thee and saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So in this scenario, it's maybe a little easy for us to forgive. When somebody comes to us and said, you know what? I was wrong. I did something to you. I shouldn't have done it. And I'm sorry. Well, we have feelings of forgiveness that whelm up in our heart, right? But is that a requirement for us to forgive? Does somebody need to come to us and say, I'm sorry, before we can extend forgiveness? Well, hopefully in the scriptures we've looked at so far this morning, we can say, no, that's not how it is. When we think about the forgiveness that God extends through Jesus, we know that we must repent to be forgiven of our sin. But we see Jesus offering forgiveness in his life when no one was asking for it. Luke 23, verse 34 says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. If we follow Jesus' example, Jesus forgave them before they even knew that they had done something wrong. Can we offer that kind of forgiveness as well? Free forgiveness. In the example of Stephen in Acts 7, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had done this, he fell asleep. Forgiveness, free forgiveness, extended to those who didn't even deserve it. Something that we must keep in mind when we think about forgiveness is that we are not in the place of the Lord. The Lord can see perfectly. He can see everything perfectly. And he is never needed forgiven. Therefore, we need to ask him for forgiveness when we come to him in repentance. But when we're thinking about these horizontal relationships between servants, we need to just extend forgiveness freely because we're not God. In this parable, both servants are in debt. And God extends forgiveness from a standpoint of perfection. I got a little bit ahead of myself. That's why repentance is essential for forgiveness to come from God. Forgiveness is my responsibility regardless on what the other party does or does not do. Forgiveness is my responsibility. Like we mentioned earlier, forgiveness is a release of the offense. We just let it go. And that's really hard on our flesh. Forgiveness is free, but costs a lot. We like to see justice, don't we? Somebody does something, we're driving down the road, we're doing the speed limit, we see someone come around us and pass us, and then 2 miles up the road, we see them pulled over. You deserve that. You got it. We like that, don't we? When we're the person speeding, we want forgiveness, right? We want forgiveness. We want to see justice. Forgiveness is free, but costs a lot. The last point I have here is forgiveness frees us. Forgiveness frees us. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. It's the last verses we're going to read here this morning. Colossians chapter 3. I want to read verse 12 through 16. I want you to notice the freedom in these verses. Colossians chapter 3. Put on therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, that debt we're talking about here between servant number one, and the Lord, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that word rule means dictate or umpire. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Forgiveness frees us. Mr. McDonald could never move his body again. He was paralyzed from that bullet in his spine. But his soul was free. He had released the debt. There's freedom in forgiveness. Did you notice that when we forgive each other and show kindness and love to each other, there's a positive effect on our lives, and also on the lives of those around us when we're willing to forgive and we're ready to forgive? And Satan would like to hinder our productivity as a group by causing us to hold on to things that come between us and have us nurture them and feed them and turn them into huge issues. Satan is happy when Christians can't get along. He's accomplished his work. He doesn't need anything else. If he can take our assembly and turn it in on itself, he's accomplished his work. Let's not let him have that foothold. Forgiveness is a choice. Mr. McDonald had a choice to make as he was in his prime and lost his ability to move. He had a choice to make. Is he going to allow this to ruin the rest of his life, let it fester, let it fume, and become a bitter person? Instead, he chose to forgive, and he used his life to go around to schools and different places like that and share his story and be an example of forgiveness. And his hope was that he could do it with the person that had done him the harm, but that man was killed in a motorcycle accident 3 days after he got out of prison, so they weren't able to do that together. But Mr. McDonald did travel as he could, sharing his story and the story of forgiveness, and was a blessing to many other people. How are our hearts this morning? Are we free? Are we carrying a load? Maybe it's the load of guilt because of sin in our lives. Maybe there's something that needs taken care of between us and our Lord. Maybe there's a debt there that needs taken care of. Maybe it's a load of bitterness that we're carrying. Maybe it's something we need to make right with a brother or sister that we need to take care of. We're carrying that weight. We need to ask for forgiveness. Let's not carry that weight. Let's find the freedom that comes from forgiveness and unload that burden today. God bless you. Let's pray.
Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for the debt that has been forgiven us. Lord, help us to share this kind of forgiveness to those who do wrong against us. And Lord, I pray that we can just use our lives to be a blessing to you and to those around us. And Lord, help us to, if we're carrying a burden of sin or a burden of bitterness, I pray this morning that we'd be able to leave these things at the foot of the cross and we can go on and be a pillar in your kingdom where we can serve you and not be hindered by these things. We ask this in